Deuteronomy chapter 6. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse number 4. Very famous verse in the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So God commands us to love Him. You're commanded to love God, and it's just like all the other commands, whether you want to or not. As if He hasn't given us reasons to do so, but God says, thou shalt love me. Thou shalt. You're in Deuteronomy 6, go to Deuteronomy 10. Go to Deuteronomy 10, look at verse 12. What doth the Lord thy God, what a word, require of thee? Stop. When the boss says, I require of you two things, and then he gives you the list. This is what I'm paying you to do. This is what I expect by the end of the day, your job is to finish. Now God tells us what I require of you, what I expect, what I'm going to look at the closest when we're done. I'm going to require this, require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him. To love Him. God says, the one thing I'm going to look at when it's all over is your love for me. You're in Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 30. Watch this. You're in Deuteronomy. Now go to chapter 30 and look at verse number 19. Can I ask how many are too cold? How many are too cold? Is anybody? Okay. I tell you what, Brother Riggins, would you go over there and just see both switches? Turn the switch that's on the right down to auto. Uh-huh. And that switch that's on the left, turn that to off. Yep, thank you. Whatever I'm paying you, double it, okay? All right, and go ahead and give yourself a Christmas bonus and see Brother Wilkins, and he's going to take you out to eat afterwards, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 30, and look at verse number 19. I call heaven and earth to record thee, to record this day against thee, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Look very closely at verse 20. Ready? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. And I love this little phrase. It's underlined in my Bible. For He is thy life. That word cleave there is the same word God says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That word cleave means if separation happens, somehow damage is done to both parts. That's why a divorce is so painful for people. It's like when you glue two boards together with liquid nails, and then you put the nails and the screws in them, and if somebody is able to put a crowbar in there and pry them apart, part of this board is stuck on this board, and part of this board is stuck over here. That's what uncleaving does. It damages both. And God says, I just love verse number 20, that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life. What a verse. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I know that nobody in here would argue that God doesn't say, don't love the Lord thy God. I wanted to start the Bible study this evening with the commandments. Now, go to the New Testament. Look what Jesus said about what we just read. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and look at verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. commandments. So, as I read my Bible, God says out of all the commandments that He says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt... God says out of all of them, the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. So if I draw a conclusion tonight, if the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, then the greatest sin would to be not to. If that's the... Jesus said, this is out of all the commandments, this one's at the top. And this is the one I want you to focus on. Then the greatest sin, then I would think, would be breaking the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord thy God. And have you noticed? If you love God, how many of the other sins it takes care of? And have you noticed ever in your Christian life, the more you love God, the less you sin? I didn't say we're sinless, you can't reach that point. But have you ever noticed when you love God, it helps you repel sin, and it helps you fight sin, and it helps you stand against sin when you do one thing. Love God with all your heart and give God all of you. Then it's amazing how stuff falls by the wayside that doesn't matter anymore. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians. Watch, look at one of the promises here. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're in Matthew. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. So God says, the heaven that He has prepared for us, your eye has never seen anything that can compare to it. Your ears have never heard anything like it. It's not like anything that's here on the earth. Then God says, heaven cannot be conceived. The same thing is true then, right, about hell. Take your worst nightmare, multiply it times 10, and you haven't even come close to what hell is like. God says, just like you can't conceive heaven, you cannot even picture, your mind cannot handle what hell is like. And God says, the things that He has prepared for those that love Him, that's heaven when we get there. But can you take 1 Corinthians 2:9 and go to Mark chapter 10? Look at Mark chapter 10. I believe that's talking about, Jesus taught us, it's talking about now and the world to come, the future. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 28. There's a promise to those that love God. You're commanded to love God. But before you go, okay, if I have to, okay, before you do that, there are promises that God says, if you love me, I will give you this. God says, I'm waiting to bless you for loving me. But look at Mark chapter 10, ready? It says here, then, look at verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's. Watch verse 30 very carefully. But he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Now. And in the world to come, eternal life. God says, when you love me, I can give you things now and in the world to come. I've never been in a church where my family was. For those that get the privilege of doing that, where Uncle Bob lives, you know, just right down the street, and I think that's great. I don't know what that's like. I've never known what that's like. The only people in my family I've ever been to church with on a regular basis is my mom and dad. We were the only family that moved away from Kansas up to Michigan. We made the trip 2 times a year to go see all of my grandparents, all of my aunts and uncles, all of my cousins. I've never had family living in the same state. Then I got saved. And every church that I've had the privilege of serving in, I've never had family around. And what did God say? This verse has meant a lot to me through the years. God says, when you leave all and follow me, I'll give you now mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. I'll give you family. So to me and my wife and our kids, no, we don't. None of my family is from Maryland, okay? But we look at our church as family. As family. We're in the family of God. And we've done that with every church we've ever served in, ever been to. The people that are in the church, God gives you sisters and brothers when you, watch this, put God first. Remember Peter's question, Lord, we've left all and we've followed you. And he said, if you do, I'll pay you in this life and in the world to come. Both. I think that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. Now, that's a promise. I want to show you one more promise that God gives. Well, watch this. Look at Psalm 84. Look at Psalm. Go right in the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalm 84 and look at verse 11. I'm using 1 Corinthians 2:9. God says, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. If you will love God, He says, I will bless you now and later. Now, don't take the thing too far. I'm not in the health and wealth gospel, and if you're poor, God hasn't blessed you. And be careful how you use the word blessing. There have been Christians who've been before us who had nothing and they were blessed. You understand? They were hiding out in caves and things like that. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. You're at Psalm 84. I wish you'd mark this and think about it. For the Lord God, look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And I love this. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God says, if you'll love me, I'll give you things now and in the world to come. And as you love me, I won't withhold any good thing from you. If you need it, I can meet your need. What a verse. What a verse. What's it say in Proverbs 22? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Guys, if you ain't married, here's a good verse. I'd circle it and memorize that booger. Because if you ain't got a good thing yet, you know how you get a good thing? Walk uprightly. Amen? If you'll walk uprightly, God will give you a good thing. A good thing. That's a good verse, amen? Ladies, you're more than a good thing. But I'm just reading the Bible and thinking, okay? And I hope you go home and think about it. But what's the best way to get a wife? A good wife that won't hurt you, that won't leave you? Walk uprightly. Girls, read 1 Corinthians 7. What's the best way to get a good husband? Live holy. You're earning your spouse now. Obey your parents. Love the Lord. So, in these verses here, I springboarded off of 1 Corinthians 2:9. God says, if you love me, I have things prepared for you now and in the world to come. If you'll just love me. Let me show you one more promise and then I'll get down into some maybe a little more practical stuff. Go to Romans chapter 8. Look at this verse. Ready? Romans chapter 8. I wish more people had this marked in their Bible. I wish more people had this committed to memory. But Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God says, if you'll love me. So the first promise we looked at was 1 Corinthians 2:9. Your mind cannot conceive, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard what God's prepared for you that love Him in this world and the world to come. We saw that. Now here's another promise to if you'll love God. He can make everything in your life that you don't understand work together for good if you'll just love Him. And when you say, why did this have to happen, God? And Lord, this was a dark time in my life. And Lord, this happened. And Lord, the pain from this. Dear God, why? God says, just love me and I will make it work for good. God, how are you going to bring good out of a miscarriage? God, how are you going to bring good out of my mom and dad breaking up? God, how are you going to bring good out of this tragic death? How? God says, that's my job. You love me, and I'll handle it. We know all things work together for good. For everybody? No. For those that love God. God says, you love me when you can't make sense of it. And everything you wished wouldn't have happened, you just love me, keep your eyes on me. And when we get to the end, God says, you're going to watch it work for good. Let me give you I could use Job to illustrate that. I could use our Savior hanging on the cross, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. However, Genesis chapter 50, how about Joseph? Genesis chapter 50, and look at verse number 14. So Joseph, sold as a teenage boy, his dad played favorites, and I don't think that's ever wise. Dad bought him a coat that he wouldn't buy the other kids, and then Joseph has these dreams, and when he finds out that the first dream ticks everybody off, he says, next morning, guess what, guys, I had another dream. Y'all were bowing down and worshiping me. It was awesome. Well, Joseph, I would have probably put a little distance in between the dreams, you know. But Joseph is then sold into slavery, never to see his dad again, for up to 20 years. Taken, can you picture him going in the back of that thing, the horses pulling it, and him, and there might be a few other slaves in there, and he's screaming at his brothers, come on guys, don't do this! He watched all 11 of his brothers sell him into slavery. Then the day comes where there's a famine in the land, and Joseph has been now in Potiphar's house and lied about. He tried to rape me, and he goes to jail. Then he's told wherever he's at, because he didn't get bitter, God blessed him. He gets in jail, and then what happens? Then he is the butler and the baker situation, and hey, would you remember me when you get before Pharaoh? He's forgotten about for another 2 years. And Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph is brought out and brought to the king's palace and put second in charge of the whole kingdom. Wow. Then his brothers end up coming, and they don't know it's Joseph. Here's the men that sold him into... I think it's one of the most passionate times in the Bible. He disguises himself, doesn't reveal himself, hey, I'm your brother. You read back a couple of chapters, you go through it. Now, they come and he brings them to Egypt and says, it's all right. Well, now his dad dies and the brothers are scared again. Because whenever you do wrong, it does haunt you. It haunted them. Now, Jacob dies and the brothers are scared. Oh, no. He's going to kill us. He was waiting until dad died. Now he's going to execute because we sold him into slavery. Look at chapter 50. Look at verse number 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did this, they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. What a verse. He said, you're not going to kill us now. Remember what dad said. Forgive us. You're supposed to forgive us. And Joseph starts weeping. And then look at verse number 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. We're so sorry. And look at what Joseph said. But as for verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it as it is this day, to save much people alive. He could have said, I'm second in command. He could have killed him right there. He could have had him, done. You want to wreck my life? I was screaming, don't do this. I screamed in the pit all night long. The fetters they put on it, read Psalms, it says they hurt his feet and his hands. So he had scars from the chains. He could have said to his brothers, you wrecked my life. I didn't get to see Dad till he was close to passing. But what did he say? You sold me into slavery and you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had to get me into Egypt so I could develop that silo system that was in the ground to keep the grain that is to this day one of the marvels of the world. Joseph is still a marvel in Egypt, in the writings of Egypt. God had to get me to Egypt so that he could use me to spare literally the known world at that time from famine. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. The story of Joseph is one of the most beautiful in the Bible. This just touches at the end of it. So Romans 8 says, we've looked at two promises. If you love God, God says, I have things planned for you in this life that you cannot imagine. And I have things in the life to come that you can't imagine if you'll just love me. I'm preparing them. And then we looked at Romans 8:28 that says this, all the things you wish wouldn't have happened in your life, if you'll just love me, I'll make them work together for good. Now, let me ask you a question. Go take your Bible and go to John chapter 14. Tonight's Bible study is called How to Love God. Okay, preacher, I get it. It's the greatest commandment in the Bible. It's the greatest thing I can do. It's what God requires of me. Then how do you do this? Then how do you love God? I think, first of all, you're going to John 14, and I'll look at it with you here in just a second. But I think, first of all, if you want to take a few notes, you're welcome to. But if you love God, I think one of the things you'll do is you'll tell Him. Have you ever told God, I love you? God ought to hear that come from your mouth every day. Dear God, I love you. And if God never hears you say it, well, God knows I do. Try that with your wife. It doesn't work. It fails miserably. Do you understand? Well, God can tell. Does God ever hear you say the words, I love you? I love you, Lord. Have you ever said to God, I'm sorry I don't love you more because I don't love you like you love me. You love me a lot more and you're worthy of a lot more. But dear God, I love you. Could I just ask you, Christian, when was the last time you spoke those words to the Lord? I love you. If you love God, then you tell Him. Number one, if you love God, you tell Him. Number two, if you love God, you love the Word of God. This is inseparable, right? This is inseparable. Seven times in your King James Bible in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Word, capital W. The word Word is capitalized seven times. Every time it's capitalized, it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. How do you love God? You don't love Jesus more than you love the Bible. It's inseparable. You can't say, well, I love the Lord, I just don't love the book. You can't do that. Jesus is the living Word. This is the written Word. If you love Him, you say, preacher, how do I love God? You could fall in love with that book. It ought to be your life. And for me to hold it and pray with it, you're worshiping a book. If it's a King James Bible, it's one and the same with the Lord Jesus. I don't worship a book, but this is as close as I'm going to get to Him till I see Him one day face to face. Right here. This is as close as I'm going to get to Him. And yeah, I think you ought to love your Bible. You ought to love the time that's God speaking to you. How do you love God? First of all, you tell Him. Second of all, you love His Word. And I mean love the Bible. I love the Bible. And anytime I don't, it's a red flag that goes, my heart's cold. And Greg Nash, you're backslidden. And you know you're backslidden. You ever been there? Okay, probably nobody in this room has, but I have. Okay? I feel like I'm at an AA meeting. My name's Pastor Nash, and I've been backslidden before. Okay, never mind. All right, go to John. You're in John chapter 14. Watch this, John 14. How do you love God? John chapter 14. Would you look at verse number 15? Ready? If you love me, keep my commandments. We could have an invitation, and everybody go home, and everybody's gotten enough tonight to live for a lifetime. We're not going to, by the way, but we could. I'm trying to get you to think tonight. You don't love God more than you obey. Any more than you love your parents more than you obey. And when you disobey, you show your lack of love. If you love me, then do what I told you. Not what you feel, not what you're wanting, but do obey my commandments. Look at verse 21. Ready? Look at verse 21. It says here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth or guards them to live them, keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and watch this, and will manifest or reveal myself to him. Those that love the Lord and love his word, one and the same, see Christ differently. Jesus said, if you love me, I can tell when you do. I'll show myself to you in a way that nobody else can see. I'll manifest myself to you. And he said, he that has my words, you know them. And he that keepeth, guards to live. He that knows in my head, I've memorized scripture. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. What connects what you know with what you live is who you love. Most people in this room know more scripture than you live. All of us have been taught more than we do. And when your love increases, so does your obedience. How come I know what's right and I just can't do it? How come I find myself just all the time? Because you don't love enough. How do you love? If you love me, keep my commandments. You're at verse number 21. Look there at verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You ever heard of a goalkeeper? What's the goalkeeper in hockey? He's the protector, right? He stands there and keeps shots from being made. If a man loved me and keeps or guards my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How do you love God? Obedience. There ought to be a premium. Look, and watch this. You can always tell when your obedience is wavering when you start caring to notice other people's disobedience. I have enough to keep track of with me. And really, okay, I don't have a right to gossip in the church. I don't have a right to. But if there's anybody that should be watching anybody, it's me as the pastor. Right? But nobody else should be watching other people. How come I go soul winning and nobody else does? Well, who's here tonight? Who's not here? Well, so-and-so was here last night, but they're not here tonight. What? Anytime your heart gets cold, you can always tell when you start to backslide. When you care more about what other people are doing wrong than what you're doing. I have enough to keep track of. And God says here, that's verse 21. Can we just look at one more place? Go to John 15. Turn over a chapter and look at verse 13 and 14. John 15, look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we don't doubt God's love for us, right? I may not get a chance to die for my Lord. It's nothing I pray for, okay? But there's been plenty before me who have. There's been millions of Christians who've died for the Lord. I may not have that opportunity in my life, but I know He died for me, right? If there's anybody I know who's my friend, I know He is, because He died for me. Then look at the next verse. Ready? Look at verse number 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Can I give you a lesson tonight? You can tell your love for God by how you want to please Him and make Him happy. When you quit looking at the Christian life like, it's a bunch of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Because when you love somebody, you don't want to just do what they want. You want to do their preferences, not their commandments. What do you want? Do you want the children doing that? We don't want any of our kids going, okay, take out the trash, make my bed, clean my room. Okay, fine, I'll do it. But wouldn't you rather your kids saying this? Okay, I want to make sure I understand what you want me to do. You said take out the trash, make my bed, clean my room, because I want you happy. I love you. That's a graduated step. The same thing's true with the Christian life. I don't want to just do what God commands. Well, show me that in the Bible. Where's that wrong? I don't know. What do you think God would prefer? And then when they go, well, I just don't see it. Then I always go, then why don't you work at loving the Lord? And when you're ready and you love the Lord enough and your relationship with Him and wanting to make Him happy grows you. It's not my job to grow you. It's your job to love the Lord and let Him work in your life. Amen. But if everything is a command, and what I have to do, how about what you get to do? How do you love the Lord? And I'm watching the time. We're almost done. I think if you love somebody, you think about them. Go to Psalm 40. Go to Psalm 40. Go to Psalm 40. Go to Psalm 40. Right in the middle of your Bible there, I think this is one of the most beautiful verses. How do you love God? Psalm 40. Look at verse number 17. I think verse 16 is wonderful, but we're kind of running out of time. Verse number 17. Ready? Psalm 40, 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. If you show me what you think about the most, I'll show you what you love the most. Because whatever it is that you love, you think about. You long for. You show me what you spend the majority of your time thinking. Did you know? I think that's just amazing. God thinks about me? You mean He thinks about us? No, God thinketh on me. And God thinks about you, and God thought about you today. And if I love you, I think about you. You know, my wife texts me, how you doing? I'm doing fine. It might mean nothing to me, but you know what she's wanting to know? Were you thinking about me? No, but I am now. No, I'm just... But that's what the wife likes. The wife likes for the husband to think about her. Did you think about me today? That's what the flower and the notes mean. Did you think about me? Because if you thought about me, I know you loved me. And the same thing is true with God. How do I love God? Do you ever think about Him? One day I'm going to get to see Him. One day I've never seen Him. I'm going to get to hear His voice. Do you ever think about the Lord? Do you ever think about His Word? If you love somebody, you think about them. And the opposite is true too. You're in Psalm 40, go to Psalm 10. Look at the trait of the wicked. Look at Psalm 10. This is a psalm about the Antichrist. Verse number 1, Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Look at the last part of verse 4. God is not in all his thoughts. What a verse. That's how come I can make the statement. If you love God, you think about him. And if you don't love God, you don't think it. Let me rephrase that. If you don't think about God, it's because you don't love Him. That's a true statement, according to what we just read, Psalm 10:4. How do you love God? Okay, preacher, I get it. It's the greatest commandment in the Bible. To break it is the greatest sin. Then how do I do it? I told you tonight, you could start by telling Him you love Him. It needs to come from your mouth every day. You can love the Bible. You ought to be reading it. Number 3, obey the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then we said, fourthly, how do I love God? Think about Him. Do you ever think about Him and His Word? Tonight's Bible study, I wanted it to be simple.